Set your photo apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for Tiny Shutter Podcast with your hosts, Keith Tharp, Mark Sadowski, and Matt Hoffman.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Tiny Shutter Podcast. We are currently matless this week.
That is awesome. Yeah. I was trying to think of something funny to say, and you just nailed it.
sadly, we are matless. But we do have Mark and myself ready for a rip-roaringly awesome show. I'm going to go ahead and get right into it. We're going to start off with the news today. I know it's old news, but in Too Funny Not to Share news, we're going to discuss a good reason to set up and use PhotoStream. A nice lady named Katie took a Disney cruise back in April, brought her iPhone along with her, as, well, you know, why wouldn't you? And on her journey, her iPhone was stolen. After returning home, Katie started noticing strange photos turning up in her photo stream. She then began uploading those photos to Facebook in an album titled Stolen iPhone Adventures. The album stars Nelson, the individual that Katie suspects stole her phone, along with his girlfriend and co-workers. Katie began adding some helpful captions to the photos in the album to help the story along. I'll put that link in the show notes. It's definitely worth heading over to check out. Take you a couple, maybe a minute and a half to run through the photos. This story went live or broke just after we closed down last week's episode. I was just a minute too late to catch on to it and share it with you guys last week. So it is technically old news, but it's pretty damn funny. Did you hear this story?
I did, and the only thing I did not catch is the resolution. Did she get her phone back?
There isn't anything that states that she's actually got her phone back, but that Disney has been in contact with her and working diligently to make it right, is what the article I read quoted as saying. Disney is working hard to make it right with her.
That is weird.
Have you gone through and actually looked at the... Because it's a public, totally free public album... of all the photos that she uploaded to Facebook. And it's really funny. It starts off a little slow. It introduces you to Nelson and his girlfriend, where she works, some of his friends and co-workers. And then he took this beautiful picture of a sunset over wherever ocean they're on. It goes into it, shows a picture of his girlfriend, looks like she's upset, and it says, you know, the caption is, Nelson's girlfriend doesn't look too happy with him. I can understand the feeling. And then the next picture shows a picture of Nelson with two girls dressed up like pirates, and the caption is, maybe she saw him pose with these two pirate hookers. It just goes, it's pretty good, but anyway.
At least she had a good sense of humor about it.
Yeah. Well, at least she turned it into something positive. The funny thing is that the guy, now who knows if he's actually swiped or just picked it up and he's numb as a stump, but he just continues to use the phone without wiping it or deleting any of her stuff or anything like that, with kind of apparently no understanding of technology these days. So
I'm actually guessing just from the look of the guy that it's probably the latter. He has no idea what the heck is going on.
Well, they spend 8 months at a time on these boats, so. But anyway.
So it was an employee.
Oh yeah, it was. It was definitely an employee of Disney's cruise line, or at least the star of this show was this particular photo album, The Stolen iPhone Adventures, was definitely an employee, along with all the other pictures taken were employees of the cruise. One of the pictures has the co-captain of the cruise liner at one of the employee parties. So
we have Kristen in the chat channel, our focus group, asking if it was a. Disney employee, and then Jose in our same group. Jose said they just threw him overboard. That's how Disney took care of it.
Yeah. Apparently, they haven't confirmed that it was actually Nelson, but that some individual has been placed on administrative leave or whatever.
Nice.
So there's that. All right, let's move on. And in iOS news, Apple today made a series of announcements confirming the dates and times for WWDC. That is the Worldwide Developers Conference. And the most notable thing is that the keynote will happen Monday, June 11th, 10 a.m. Pacific time. Not too many other details. It is speculated that Tim Cook will be kicking off the keynote with a presentation denoting getting some of the things about OS X Mountain Lion, and also iOS 6 is speculated to be launched from WWDC. Potentially major updates to the company's Mac products and so forth. They have also released a free WWDC app. And basically what this app is a guide for attendees. So if you happen to be heading out to WWDC, you get this free app, and it's kind of like a tour guide map sort of thing. But the big thing that they're reporting on, I think it's Mac Rumors I was looking at, is that the design of this particular free app is very different from Apple's traditional blue user interface that has been with the iPhone since day one. This is a slicker, sharper, silver-looking user interface. They're speculating that this will be a new user interface that could be coming out for all devices with iOS 6.
I wouldn't be surprised to see if there's some design change, because I think who's that guy at Apple that just got knighted? Jonathan Ivey? He is one of the chief designers at Apple, and he was in an interview saying that he is really upset with a lot of the design choices that Apple has done recently. For example, Find My Friend app, which has that kind of fake leather bound stuff around it.
Yeah.
And that just all crap to him. He hates that. It's very ineffective design. And he wants to see a lot of changes with the future Apple products. So I wouldn't be surprised that we're going to see a brand new look and feel to iOS.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised either. I believe that most of it's going to be subtle. I mean, if you're talking about a little bit of...
It's not going to change function, is I guess what I'm saying. But it's going to change the look, not the... Look and feel, but not the functions.
Right. I mean, they've been making subtle changes over the course of the evolutions of iOS. But the one thing that has remained consistent is this blue, dark blue, mid-blue kind of gradient type of thing that they've got going on. So, you know, if it happens, it happens. I mean, it's not like, I don't know, I might be excited and think that it's the best thing in the world, but I would be more interested in seeing some other improvements, and I guess we'll actually get into talking about those later on in the future, so.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on. The last news story of the day is going to be a bit of a... well, let's just say this is the kitchen sink of news today, and it's all bouncing around Facebook. And we're going to start off with the fact that Facebook has launched its camera app, which seems to be desperately trying to dethrone Instagram, I guess is a good way to say it.
It was put into development before they had purchased Instagram.
Well, obviously. I mean, they didn't throw this together in, you know, the 30 days since they've purchased Instagram or announced their intentions to purchase Instagram, because one of my points about this story is that I read this story initially on the Huffington Post. Their story went along to talk about the new camera app and whatnot, and kind of touched on the fact that Facebook had purchased Instagram, and then it went in to say that Facebook expects the Instagram app to close by the end of the year, and it's like flurry of people like freaking out, like, okay, Huffington Post just said that Facebook expects the Instagram app to close within the year. I was actually like, what? I was actually pretty depressed about this. I'm like, I haven't heard anything like this yet, and now I'm like, am I gonna start, you know, like trying to find another Instagram-ish kind of app? Less than 24 hours later, Huffington Post went in and quietly adjusted it to say that the Facebook has expects the Instagram acquisition to close sometime this year.
Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
Right. Yeah. So no mention of the fact that they screwed up. No big noticing update or anything like that. So a whole bunch of people freaking out over somebody not proofing their article.
But they got a ton of traffic from it, I bet.
So anyway, Mark, Facebook has a camera app, and what it does, and it does fairly efficiently, actually, is it gets you in touch with the photos on Facebook in a decent manner. It offers you the option of taking pictures right from the app and obviously adding Instagram-ish type of filters to it. And that's your only kind of doorway into Facebook is the photos that reside on Facebook.
as a means of looking at photos on Facebook, it's not bad. I like it. If you want to upload photos to Facebook, it's actually pretty good because the regular Facebook app is very, very clunky. And I have more problems with it than anything. It gets hung up a lot. It just does not update properly. But as far as the app itself, I mean, the camera app is... It's just a camera app. There's nothing to sing about with that. I mean, it'll snap a photo. Great, whoopee. The editing isn't bad. The filters that they have are okay. They're not too much. They're not too little. It's average right across the board. But I think the biggest thing that this camera app has going for it is that you get to upload your photos pretty quickly to Facebook.
For me, the shining star in this app is the viewing experience. Mm-hmm. It's a very nice, slick viewing experience. Being able to scroll through the users that you follow or your friends that you follow, and then when you get to a particular album that somebody has uploaded more than one photo to, you can swipe sideways now to view all the images in that gallery. You can like and comment right from here. So as far as viewing photos on Facebook, I really like it. I don't see it being an Instagram replacement. It won't come anywhere near close to that, just because for me, Instagram is more of an artistic outlet as opposed to a place to share the types of things that I upload to Facebook.
Right. It's definitely two different types of audiences. And for me in particular, though, I don't think I will be using this app very much, because any app that I want to share on Facebook, I could do right from Instagram.
Yeah. So
we had one of our readers. I did a brief write-up on it on tinyshutter.com, one of my Mark States the Obvious article. And Emily Binder made a great point making the distinction between Facebook readers and Instagram readers, how the audiences are different. And how she's annoyed with people who post Instagram photos to Facebook. And I'd like to comment saying that this is true. I can understand Facebook audiences getting pissed off about Instagram pictures. But if those people are going to keep sending me invites to freaking Farmville, I'm very glad to piss them off. And I know we're going to have a little bit of a segue here, but Peter, also from that, who contributed to that article, is really upset about seeing this because he sees it as kind of Facebook leeching into Instagram even more. And I think I would be curious to see what the vast majority of people are, their opinions about this is, because a lot of people are very leery about Facebook getting rid of Instagram. That's still on a lot of people's radars, and this is just something that
It's going to
put more fuel to the fire.
I don't know that I'm worried about Facebook getting rid of Instagram. At first, anyway, I'm more concerned about them screwing it up.
That's exactly what, yeah.
So let's move on into our next portion of this, which is that there are now a flurry of reports circulating that Facebook has gone out and recruited a pile of former Apple engineers in an effort to begin development on a Facebook phone. I guess I don't get it.
This is kind of along the same lines as that Firefox operating system that we reported on.
I don't know that it's that same kind of thing. I mean, the Firefox thing that we reported on is more of an operating system as opposed to Facebook creating a tangible type of item. I mean, I guess I don't know. I mean, if you're out to conquer the world, then I guess you need to get your hands on everything. But
as a potential additional revenue source, okay, it kind of makes sense. I mean, if Barnes & Noble can make their own tablet device that's been pretty successful with their Nook, enough so that it's branching out and getting support from Microsoft, you know, it could work. So a Facebook phone, I could see it going either way. And what are you going to have? You're going to have Facebook, obviously, as an app. They can't even get that right on iOS, let alone own system?
That's part of the segue, is that all of this is coming on the heels of the fact that Facebook's new stock has dropped 20% down to $30, all this in 10 days after it released at $38 for its IPO.
Okay, I have something to say about the 20%. And again, I'm not a financial analyst. I'm not planning on giving any financial advice or anything. But a lot of that has very little to do with Facebook in itself. A lot of that has to do with people inflating that stock.
I read an article late last week that speculated on some of the reasons why the stock is plummeting, and part of it has to do with the fact that their mobile platform, the platform that people are trying their damnedest right now to access Facebook on, has no revenue stream. They haven't incorporated any kind of ad revenue stream or any kind of money-making stream on their mobile platform. And so my little conspiracy theory is that this is exactly why the friggin' app is junk right now. It's crashing. It's dragging. I mean, you talk to anybody. You just said it. It's nobody is enjoying Facebook on the phone right now. And I believe it has something to do with them wanting you to go get your internet experience, I mean, your Facebook experience online. I mean, and this is all, obviously, like I said, this is just my conspiracy theory about why the app is junk right now. But I've stopped using the app altogether. It makes me want to throw my phone because that's how bad the app is running right now.
Right, but that's no excuse for the stock going down 20%.
It's just speculated that that's one of the reasons, is the fact that there's no mobile revenue stream.
Right, but the stock was inflated to begin with. It was grossly inflated. The people who walked away from that, you're right, are Facebook employees, as well as the very many venture capitalists that were involved in getting this IPO up. IPO up. TheStreet.com has a great article right now about Wall Street Blew It, the real tragedy of the Facebook IPO. We could add that to the show notes. But it's a really great article telling about what happened, what they didn't say. But it's a great read. I can add it to the show notes.
So anyway, that's a thing. Mark, let's move into the feature.
This week's feature is brought to you by Stitcher. Get all your favorite live stations as well as podcasts like the Tiny Shutter on your iOS device. Go to stitcher.com/tinyshutter and download it today.
Sweet. We got a listener question to start off this week's feature, and Mark's going to read that off for us.
Okay. This comes from Peter. He asks, I was hoping you might have a segment about the best ways to print iPhone photos. Using a printer and offsite printing services, I'd like to print some photos and would love some tips.
I am going to let you start, Mark, since I know you have an opinion on this, and then I will offer my.
Okay. Let's put it this way. I specifically tried the lowest common denominator in printing as an experiment, and I took a few of my Instagram photos in particular. Because they are cropped down and they are, with the filters and everything. I took a few of those photos and took them to Target to get them printed with their cheapest solution possible. And that's like, it's essentially just getting it printed on a freaking regular printer. And the prints came out fairly well. It did really well. With the prints, they looked great. They were clear, crisp, and the filters didn't take away from the photo itself. So I had a good experience with, you know, using their system, whatever printing service they're using. I think they were using Kodak. I don't know what it's called now that Kodak is going belly up. But that's what I was using, and I'll put it in the show notes, the two photos that I printed. One of them was my daughter, and one of them was a picture of a flower. And the size that I got them printed at was 8x10. I wanted to get the biggest possible photo without going too much. I think that's the biggest that Target will print at, is 8x10. I could have used their better service that they have. I guess you would have to wait an hour, but I went for the instant gratification and went for the cheapest method possible just to see the prints. And I got to say, that came out pretty good. So no complaints on that side. How about you, Keith?
I am not one to talk about with printing. you know, as a professional photographer from the beginning, I got the grand idea of doing my own prints and crafting my own prints, digital prints from home. And I abandoned that very early on just because it's such a chore. It's such a chore to maintain color profiles and all that kind of stuff to get a good print. And on top of that, it's not cheap. You know, paper and ink and, you know, printing two or three prints wrong on your own dime while you try and get, you know, the what comes out of the printer to where you want it to look. So I abandoned that idea fairly early on in my career and started using professional labs. And so now if I need something on the quick, I will use my local Ritz. Unless I don't care as much, I will go to CVS or Rite Aid or something like that. Which in the end, if you're talking about 4x6s and something that you need quick, it's just as good. Nobody's picking these things apart. For my professional stuff, I use off-site stuff like Bayfoto or MPix.
Yeah.
So, and I've done my iPhone photography. I have used each and every one of these services and been nothing but satisfied with my results. I haven't yet come across one that I've said, oh geez, you can tell this is an iPhone print. I've never done anything bigger than an 8x10 though, but as we know from listening to last week's show, Matt has done a large canvas print and was extremely happy with it.
Yeah.
So I think quality-wise, our technology that we have nowadays with labs and even local print availabilities, such as, you know, these machines like you used to get your one-hour photos and stuff, still generate a decent print. I think that if you were going to go into some larger scale kind of print, you may want to take a little bit more effort into prep work and stuff like that. But I mean, right up to 8x10, I wouldn't be concerned about printing it even locally, but using a source like MPix is what I would choose to do.
Yeah, I haven't tried anything else. Although I'd love to try. Again, if you want to do more than 8x10, you're kind of limited as to what you could do yourself as well. I mean, it's not like a lot of regular $50 printers can do 11x14. I think your limit is 8x10-ish. So going anything higher, you'd have to have a decent professional service. I'll try Shutterfly. I want to try to get 11x14 from the most common place where people get prints from.
I mean, are you going to use a full size iPhone file, or are you talking about using an Instagram picture?
I'll do one of each.
Interesting.
I'll be curious. Cool. I mean, obviously, I'm not going to be able to get the full 11x14 on an Instagram since it's square, but, you know, I could always cut the white space out. But I'd like to try a regular photo.
Cool.
Yep.
Cool, Peter. Well, thank you very much for the question. For those of you who are interested in sending questions in, you can head over to tinyshutter.com, and there's just all sorts of options for you to send questions in. You can leave a comment on the post. You can click the contact button. You can also call us. There's a phone number over there that you can call us from. Feel free to send us your questions in, and we will do our best to answer them with our knowledge.
Yay.
Hey. All right, Mark, let's do this. Let's get out of the feature this week, and let's move into our focus points for the week. And before I move into the focus points, I want to mention our fans. Actually, you know what? As I'm mentioning our fans, I'm going to open my calendar app because I'm going to set a deadline for the iPhone Shutter Grip giveaway.
Ooh.
Ooh. Today is May 29th. And I am going to set the finale. I need all possible submissions or entries by the 15th of June. and we will announce the winner on the live broadcast on the 19th, and the one that runs on the 20th. Okay.
That sounds awesome. I wonder if my alter ego Marco Sadowskio will win. Yes. No.
Yes. Oh. I wonder if
I've said too much.
I wonder if it'll be our new fan Jose. All right. So that's it, guys. Get your entries in by the 15th of June. And if you don't remember how to enter to win the iPhone Shutter Grip, you have two ways to win. You can send us a postagram, or you can become a fan on Facebook, or you can get two entries by doing both. Real quick, I'm going to mention our fans. I got a whole pile of postagrams here from our fans. I have one here from David Lara, and he mentions that he is super excited. They just confirmed their firstborn is coming in January of 2013, and it is a picture of their the sonogram.
Awesome.
Very cool.
Do you see that? We knew about it before their family. That's awesome.
I'm sure we were the first to know.
Well, you know, postage and everything, but technically we were.
Get another one from Sani Rath. Oh, and yeah, I already said that. So, and she's got this picture of the, you know, buildings. it's a building landscape kind of thing, possibly apartment complex type of thing. Sincere greetings from a rainy Germany. I would be happy to get a card from you too. And I sent her one back already.
Awesome.
Yeah, that was nice of me, huh? And we have this gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous picture of a lighthouse and a sunset in Oklahoma City, and it is from Tom Silk, and I thank you very much, Tom. I got two more to go, and I'm going to read them off here. Nothing like an episode of Tiny Shutter and a good cup of coffee, and that's from, and I agree 100,000% there, and that's from William Hopkins. I drink my coffee when I'm editing the show on Wednesday morning, William, and he sent us a picture of some bags of roasted coffee or like non-ground coffee in the bags before they get processed.
I love the smell of coffee, but I can't stand to taste it.
I absolutely love everything about coffee.
I wish I liked coffee.
And the last postagram is going to come with a whole bunch of news.
Ooh.
So the last postagram is from a guy that some of you may have heard of. His name is Dr. Popular. And it's a picture of this extremely cute little dog on a skateboard. And it says, teaching our office puppy, Peppergram, how to skate. Next up, Ollie's.
So wait a minute. Let me guess. We're going to give away the puppy.
Yes. And no, just the skateboard.
As long as it's autographed.
By Pepper.
By Pepper. Screw Tony Hawk. We have Pepper.
So the bad news is we are out of Postagram promo codes. The good news is Dr. Popular sent me an email and said, hey, you're out of Postagram promo codes. Good news is we're going to give you more. So here's the really neat thing now. They've done some upgrading to Postagram, and now when you go to www.postagramapp.com/tinyshutter, you will have the opportunity to put in that that Tiny Shutter promo code. I'll give you a link in the show notes so you can go right there. But once you enter that promo code, it automatically adds us to your address book, so there wasn't the whole thing of having to fill out. Now you don't have the whole thing of having to fill out your address and all that kind of stuff. It automatically adds you to the address book. I mean, adds us to your address book. You don't even have to do anything. It's already there. And then you can go with that second option of sending us a postagram to enter into the iPhone Shutter Grip giveaway. And the other good news is that I believe, and somebody can confirm this for me as long as they go and take advantage of the promo code, I believe he is now giving each one of our listeners who get there in time before the promos run out, 5 postagrams.
Nice.
Yep. So you just send one of those to us, you're entered in, and you send the 4, and you don't have to. I mean, if you don't want the Shutter Grip, that's cool. If you do, or if you just want to say hi one way or the other, send us a postagram and send the rest to your friends and family. And Postagram rocks. We love them and we use them, and you should too.
Amen.
All right, moving on. We're going to go into our focus points and we're going to get out of here. Mark, what do you got for a focus point?
My focus point for this week is Wood Camera. This is a camera developed by Bright Mango. and it is for $1.99. And what it is it's your typical camera plus photo editor, and it's a lot like PicFX, where you get to choose different filters when you edit the photo, or you could upload photos into the app and do the filtering that way. But the difference is that you could go into more detail with the photo filters. You can change the opacity, you can change the hue, you can change the contrast. So that level of photo editing is pretty, pretty cool. It allows you to do a lot of different combinations within one filter, and it just adds more editing feel to your photo. So it's a really cool app. The camera side of it is, to me, it's just a very basic camera app. There's nothing to sing home about, but the photo editing that they have is pretty easy to use, pretty intuitive. If you want to just keep things as they are with your filters, you can. They're pretty cool looking filters. But if you want to tweak them even further, you have that added dimension. And I would have to say, I would give this a pretty solid 4 stars for this app. It would have been 5, but it's $1.99. I personally think it's $1 too much. I think this would have been a no-brainer for a 99-cent app. And I know I'm making a huge deal out of $1. But that's just my gut telling me.
Gotta go with your gut, man.
Gotta go with the gut.
Cool, man. I'm gonna go with a app that I've had for a long time. I still use, still enjoy, and I like it a lot. I have a folder on my camera. I mean, on my iPhone called Specialty Cameras. Basically, I stick my single use or single function type of apps in there, camera apps in there, like Slow Shutter Cam and Average Cam Pro, HDR Pro, these ones there that you know I use for a specific thing. Synth Cam is very cool. It does a great job at replicating a particular kind of look, similar to shallow depth of field. What you do is you press what looks like a record button, and you move the phone back and forth in a straight plane, not tilting it, but going back and forth in a straight plane. And you keep it within the guides that it gives you, and then you stop recording when you feel you've done enough. And what it does is it maintains a nice piece of focus on that unit or that point of interest that you chose, and the rest of it kind of falls off into a really neat kind of blurry kind of thing. It's a digital looking type of thing, but it's way better than it's a much more accurate shallow depth of field look than, say, some of the tilt shift or circle blur kind of options that you have. So it's a great app. I use it all the time. And the other thing about it is that it also has a neat feature where you can choose multiple points to place that focus on and move it around and get a lot of neat different types of effects. One point that I will give you is when you're using it for the first time, your finished product may have a little black square on the bottom with a whole bunch of white dots and swerves on it. This is what they call showing the bokeh. It basically gives you a representation of what you did as far as moving the camera around. I don't understand the point of it, so I shut it off. If you go into settings, you'll see a thing that says show bokeh and save bokeh. I shut both of those off, and that way I don't have to try and figure out how to crop them out afterwards, because it's literally a permanent kind of overlay on your picture that it's very frustrating when your picture comes out really good and there's a stupid black square on it. But it's a great app. I'm going to tell you how much it is right now. It is free.
Ooh.
Hey, free is good.
I think I could afford that.
Yeah. So I thought it was 99 cents. It may currently, I'm in the App Store right now. It may be an only limited time free. But it doesn't look like it. It looks like it's free for free. So head out and get it, because it's a totally awesome app worth playing with.
Nice.
Yeah. Cool. So I think that's here from that's it here from Tiny Shutter HQ. Listen, everybody, make sure you when you're on Instagram, hashtag your pictures with Tiny Shutter. That'll add them to the Tiny Shutter pool. I think we just clicked over 500 pictures in there, and I'm pretty excited about that. And it's wrapping up pretty good. The other thing I wanted to do real quick is thank the focus group for hanging in there with us. We had Kristen and Jose, which is a new listener. And Steve-O was also in there for a while. And I think we had that guy, Maud Byrne, in there for a while, too.
Who?
All right, Mark, let's wind this up. Why don't you let the listeners know where they can find you?
You guys can find me on Instagram, username LensWipe.
And you can find me over at Instagram, username Keith_Tharp. I also want to remind you guys to head over to Instagram, where you can also find M. Hoffman Photo. I'm not going to let him not get his plug in this week, even though he didn't show up for the party. He's on an unscheduled, unapproved vacation, and we don't know if we're going to let him stick around or not.
But if you go to his Instagram profile, you'll be able to see his vacation photos.
Absolutely, yeah. Head over to his Instagram profile, and you can check out his vacation photos. And
yeah, and make fun of him a few times. You know, we can't always do
it. What the heck? He's not here to defend him, so. We love Matt. Make sure you check out his stuff. He is an amazing photographer. So that's it, folks. Thank you very much for tuning in with us, and we will see you again next week. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Every week there'll be one.
All right, I'll give my...
All right, let's start it over.
You guys can find
Wait.
Me...
Wait!
What?
So,
you
Mark,
know what? I'll do my Instagram.
That, dude, that's... I don't really care. Right?
Inside joke.
Inside jokes. They're always funny.
You guys can find me at twitter.com.
Damn it! Kristen says, Jose, it is Joseph, just with more fiesta.
I love our fans. Oh.
Stop screwing with me. This is why I don't look at the damn focus group during the show.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a 5-star rating. See you next week. Suck it, Android.